I often wonder, why is it that I can't get away with anything?
She's praying.
I remember she showed me this book. She's, you know, I don't know who the author is, but The Power of a Praying Wife.
Amen.
Stormy O'Marty, yes. Stormy, bless her, woman of God. Thank you, Stormy. Wasn't that a song? Stormy?
Yeah.
Let's not go there. Well, you ready to... I'm going to try to sew this up. I want to incorporate Dwight's testimony, Kelly's message, and turn to Mark chapter 4. We may depart from our normal trajectory here. And Mark chapter 4. You know, I need a flashlight here because I can't see. Look at that. Yeah, the disciples came to Jesus and said, explain to us the parable of the sower. You know, when Jesus said, the sower sows the word, a sower went out to sow, and some of the seeds fell by the roadside, and some fell on among thorns, and some fell on rocky soil. And then there were some that fell on good ground and brought forth 30, 60, 100 fold. They said, can you explain that to us? He said, yeah. He said, because you know what? It is given to you to know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven. Say this, it's given to me,
to
know the mystery,
to know the mystery
of the kingdom of heaven.
Of the kingdom of heaven.
Is this God talking to you?
Yes.
Is this word God talking to you?
Yes.
It is. Well, it says this in verse 11. He, Jesus, said to them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them who are on the outside or without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time, that could be right now, any time, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven. And he said to them, know ye not this parable? Then how will you know all parables? The sower sows the word. The sower sows the word. The sower sows the word. You have a word in you that needs to be sown into somebody's ears. Jesus said this. In verse 23, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, take heed what you hear, with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that has, to him shall be given, and he that has not, from him shall be taken even that which he has. You know, I used to think, really? So if I don't have, God's going to take everything else from me? That's not what he's saying here. Let's read it again. Verse 23, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, take heed, or pay attention to what you're listening to. Monitor what you're listening to. For with what measure you meet, it will be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. Do you have ears to hear? Well, then more will be given. But if you don't have ears to hear, the devil will come and steal, kill, and destroy. That's his job. That's all he knows how to do. Steal, kill, and destroy. But you have a Savior who's the God of life and the God of all living. He is the God of the living. The God of the living. So he said this, take heed what you hear, for with what measure you meet. You know, You may have family members say, you know, that bunch over there, all they do is roll around and speak in tongues and stuff, and they sing and praise the Lord and whatever, and they lift their hands and da-da-da-da-da. Well, that's right, because that's their measure. That's why they're healed. That's why they're delivered. That's why their needs are met. Why? Because that's the measure that they gave to the Word of God. They valued it, and they value Him, and they just can't help but worship Him and open up to Him. Okay, then it says, for he that has shall be given, and he that has not, from him shall be taken that which he has. He who has what? Well, go back to verse 23. He who has ears to hear. If you have ears to hear, then you will understand the message of the kingdom of God, the principles of the kingdom of God, and you will apply those. When you have ears to hear, you'll apply what you hear. And then what you have cannot be taken from you. Turn to Matthew chapter 13. This is all impromptu this morning, so I don't have this up on the board, but I want to get some principles going here. Matthew chapter 13. In verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and doesn't understand it, then comes the wicked one and catches away that which is sown in their heart. Isn't that pretty clear? How many times do we hear it? We really don't understand, and then we walk out of here and we don't even ask the Lord to give us understanding. How many times have we let some things slip? We hear some things, we don't question it. Or we hear something that may be a doctrinal thing that we don't agree with, but we don't ask the Lord. You know, men have made doctrines out of things that aren't even doctrines.
Right.
You want to know the basic doctrines of Christ? Look at Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. The six principles of the doctrine of Christ. That's it. That's the only thing the Bible tells us is the doctrine of Christ. What is that? Repentance from dead works. That's a doctrine. Don't let that slip. Repent. Then faith towards God. Then the doctrine of baptisms. Plural. There are more than one baptism. When he referred to water baptism, he called it one baptism. But it's the doctrine of baptisms. There's a baptism of fire. That's when God turns you on with his power. There's a baptism in the Holy Spirit. And there's a baptism into the body of Christ. And then there's water baptism. There's all kinds of baptisms. What that tells me is God wants you immersed in him.
Yes.
He wants you dunked. He wants you under the living waters of heaven. All right. Do you get that?
Yeah.
Thank God, Dwight, you had ears to hear. And the Holy Ghost said, you're not going anywhere. You know, he said, look. And he got mad. Do you know God can handle your anger?
Amen.
I heard this one too. Many, many years ago, Kenneth Copeland said this. He said, you know, my mom prayed for me for 13 years. And it finally got to the point, she just threw her Bible down the bed. She said, that's it, I'm not praying for him anymore. If he goes to hell, it's your fault. 2 weeks later, Gloria got saved, and then a week after that, he got saved. She said, if I knew it was that easy, I would have just done that 13 years ago. 3 months later, she said, I've had the roughest 3 months of my life, Kenneth. He said, why? She said, it's just such a dry spell. She said, you got saved. I have nothing to pray for anymore. She said, but the Lord told me, I'm going to pray for your football team. And pray for the whole team. And she brought every one of those guys on his football team got saved. Everyone. And he preached at their funerals. He's good friends with the ones who are still living. What's he, 83 now? 84? Kenneth Copeland. And there's a man who lived his life right in front of everybody. And he lived what he preached, he lived what he said, and look at him now. You know. So, whoops. How do I get rid of that? There you go. All right. Part one of our series. You know, a series I take seriously because they're the series that God gives us. But part one, we talked about, we defined freedom. What is freedom? And there's a lot of Christians who are confused just by that one word. What is freedom? Wow, freedom. What is that? And it's like, what it is the ability to walk with God and have fellowship with God with no sense of inferiority or sin. In right standing with Him. Freedom that Jesus proclaimed is also your birthright as a Christian. Freedom. It's your birthright. You were born into this. Remember when Paul said, I was born free? Praise God. We are children of God, and we have been born into the kingdom of God, and freedom is our birthright. Part two, we talked about the word and the freedom connection. There's a connection between the word of God and freedom that the word of God proclaims as ours, and we're going to take that to a new level this morning. But let me explain how the word freedom connection here. The word displaces things. When we receive the word of God and believe it, get it down in our heart, it starts to displace things in our life like an ice cube displaces water. And there are things that you were full of when you came to the Lord. You were filled with unbelief. You were filled with sin. You were filled with wrong attitudes, wrong mindsets, everything. And the word of God came, and it started displacing those with truth. This is truth. This will make you free when you know it. If you don't know it, it'll just become a religion to you, and it'll put bondage on you. You'll read your own meaning into it, and it won't set you free. But if you believe the simplicity of what it says, it'll make you free. Jesus said, give and it shall be given unto you. How hard is that to understand? But yet, we try to figure that out. Say, well, wait a second, how's that going to work? And you try to figure out in this peanut-sized little mind a principle that was created by the God who made all of the universe that is still expanding at the speed of light, and you think you're going to figure out something better than God did? That's why you need faith. Faith connects you with the truth of the Word of God. It reveals it to you, and you can walk in faith, and you will experience the freedom from that slave mentality to sin. Wrong mindsets, negative images. It'll start to replace images until God's image is formed in you. Then last week we talked about that we were liberated for a purpose, and that purpose is to love people. Love God and love people. We talked about agape, it is unchangeable. Love never fails. Remember that? Love never fails. We looked up the word fail and what that meant. You can go back and read it. Or you can go to the website and listen to it again. And never, the word never, love never fails, never, right in the middle of that phrase, love never fails, gives an eternal status to love. It locks it in. The word never refers to something with an inability to change. It overrides all influences of change, including time itself. Time brings change and time measures change. In other words, the word never gives an eternal status to whatever it is used in conjunction with. Never gives the word love an eternal status that is greater than any other influence. It is unadaptable to anything other than itself because it is complete in and of itself. You can't add to it, you can't. And if God gives love, it can never be depleted. It's an endless, endless, eternal fountain of love. Think of that for 5 minutes. Dish that up. So faith is the victory that overcomes everything. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. And you know, when we open the Word is opening us When we read the word's reading us. So let's declare this together. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. And this word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. How many of you know that God is pleased with you? He is. He's pleased with you. You have believed in him, and that pleases him. Faith is what pleases God. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. Is there a little ring in this, in this mic?
Yes.
Let's get that ring out, please, John. John is our expert sound man. Thank you. So 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, it says, for whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Now, do we have volume? Good, okay. Even our faith. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Now it says, whatsoever is born of God. It doesn't say whosoever. So this is referring to something a little different. If God births a dream or a vision into you, this is what he's talking about. If God births a task to you, or something like that, if it is born of God, it cannot be overcome. If it's born of God, it will overcome any obstacle it faces.
Amen.
That's good news.
Yes.
Because if God gives you an idea and you can run with it, one thing you can be guaranteed, it will overcome everything the world throws at it.
Amen.
And the more the world throws at it, the stronger it will get, and the bigger it will get, and the more it will produce and multiply until it overcomes everything the world can throw at you. Oh! That dog will hunt. Visions, dreams, an inspiration comes to you, an idea. Or the Holy Spirit says, you're not going anywhere. When you do the word of God, you will be blessed in your deed. Say that. I'm a doer of the word.
I'm a doer of the word.
And not a hearer only.
And not a hearer only.
I don't just audit.
I don't just audit.
I receive the assignment.
I receive the assignment.
And when you do, God becomes responsible for the outcome.
Amen.
Because it's his word.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Is there something you need to overcome this morning? Oh, don't look at me so sanctified like that. You me? Moi? No. Yeah, there's something you need to overcome. There's something I need to overcome. And there, every single day, there's many things that we need to overcome. Before you get out of bed, I'm an overcomer. The greater one lives in me. Greater than what? It doesn't matter. He's greater. You wake up with a headache one morning. Oh, thank you, Lord, that you have borne my pain and carried my disease. I don't carry it. No sense. If you carried it, there's no sense in both of us carrying it. So I give it to you, and I thank you that you're faithful. I'm a doer of the word. I'm putting that word to work for me right now. And then the devil will say, are you crazy? You think that that is more powerful than the pain? Yeah!
Amen.
Wake up! It says, awake to righteousness. I have right standing with God. Nothing can stand in his presence that is not of God. Stand up on the inside. And this is what the power of meditating on the word does to you.
Right.
You meditate. You meditate. It's like the old pitchers. Jesus said, fill the pitchers to the brim. The water at the wedding of Cana in John chapter 2. Right? It says, fill them to the brim. Not halfway. Not all. you know, you need to fill up on the Word of God. You need to get it till it's right here. Where that's all you can see. That's all you can hear. That's all you can speak. It's just bubbling up all the time. And then when some adversity comes and you're waking up in the morning with a headache, boom, the Word of God says, nope. Surely he took my pains and carried my diseases. Surely he has borne these things away and I rise up new. Start talking that way. Start believing that way. Stop thinking that way. Then your soul, your spirit, your soul, and your body are all in conjunction, in line with each other. And that is perfect righteousness, just like God. When he sees something, he sees it through the eyes of the Son. When he speaks something, he speaks it through the power of his Spirit. They all work together. He is perfectly righteous and in balance. His love is balanced by his justice and his righteousness. It's so perfectly balanced. And when you get that balance inside of you, that only comes from one place, the Word of God. The Word of God. Fill up on it. Fill up. And when it gets filled to the brim, wine. Miraculous. It happens.
Yeah.
The transformation comes from renewing your mind with the Word of God. Amen. Tell you a little story, build a little foundation. I want to get into a little principle here. You ready to just spend a little more time this morning?
Yeah. Yeah,
bring it.
Take a deep breath.
Yeah.
Exhale. If you have to stamp your feet through that, it gets a certain nerve going to your brain again. In July of 1999, Lori and I went out to spend a week or so with my mom out in Connecticut and at her house. And my dad had died 4 years earlier, and she had just moved into a new place, and we were just happy to spend some time with her. It was an exciting week. You know, I grew up out in the East Coast, and I grew up in Yankee Stadium. My dad used to take me down there all the time. I watched Mickey Mantle. I watched Roger Maris. I watched Whitey Ford, Yogi Berra. Saw them all play. Elston Howard. Moose Scarron was the first baseman before. When he was used up, I guess they gave him to the White Sox. But oh, ow! So anyhow, I saw the best of the best of the best of the best. But you know what I say to Major League Baseball today? Goodbye. If you're gonna take that attitude, go. That's the flag that I stand up for.
Yeah,
amen. Enough said. I'm not going to get into that. But if you start bending under pressure of this world, you need to just exude the glory of God that's inside of you. This church, every pastor needs to get a spine and start declaring the truth.
Amen.
The truth.
Amen.
The truth. Why? Because the truth is what makes you free.
Right.
And the more you say it, the more you know it. And it's the truth that you know that will make you free. We have witnessed so many negative things. There's a reason why this country is going through the things it's going through. I'm not going to get into a lot of it. But I will say this. The last four presidents have given Israel a real problem.
Right.
Until this one. This is the first president that said, go ahead and take on more land, right, instead of giving it away.
Right.
When Katrina hit, it was when the decision, Katrina, remember Hurricane? When that hurricane, it was heading south, actually. When Bush and Mideast thing that he was putting together, it was to divide Judea and divide Jerusalem and give half to the Palestinians and half to Israel. And as soon as that was completed and they were going to do it, that thing went right north and went right into the Gulf, hogged up the Mississippi River, filled with barges of wheat and corn and hay, and all of the seeds and grains, hogged up. They had millions and millions of tons they had to just throw away. Total waste because of one decision against Israel. When you honor Israel, you honor God.
Yes.
Right. I have no other way to say that. The Bible says, he who blesses... There's a reason we are experiencing these problems, and you cannot supply the number one state terror, Iran, with $150 billion and reroute through Russia 20% of our enriched uranium supply and give it to them so that they can trade it back to. They might as well have just built the nuclear bomb for them. Sworn enemies of Israel. You can't do that and expect blessing to come on your land. If it hadn't been for Trump getting in there and moving the embassy, declaring Jerusalem and doing good things and settling things with Israel, we wouldn't even be a nation right now. I don't even know if you believe that or know that, but it wasn't going to happen. It's on its way out. It's reversing. What you're seeing now are the birth pains of God, what God is bringing forth in this nation. And it's going to be glorious and it's going to be beautiful.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. How did I get there? Okay.
Baseball.
Sunday, July 18th.
It's all good.
I went out to and I would get to watch the Yankee games when I'm out east again. You know what? I thought, oh, yeah. And David Cohen threw a perfect game in Yankee Stadium. Wow! The 16th, at that time it was the 16th perfect game in Major League history, over a 100-year-old sport. 16. And I watched it. Ooh, I was walking the tall cotton. And it was the Yankees and everything. But all of that was overshadowed because 2 days earlier, you know what happened? That is the most precious sound in the world. That is the sound of heaven. In the cry of a newborn baby. Woo, thank you, Jesus. But what overshadowed that great accomplishment was 2 days earlier when JFK and his wife and his sister-in-law crashed into the Atlantic Ocean just off of the New England coast, and everything was still sketchy. They hadn't found the bodies, nothing. They hadn't found wreckage or anything. They didn't find the bodies until 5 days later when JFK was still strapped into his pilot. And see, and the other two, one was under the fuselage and one was in the fuselage still. And they got the bodies and they put them in a motorcade and brought them to the county medical office where they were identified and all the tests were run. And this is a big thing. JFK Jr.'s still alive. And he's winking at people. You know, if you believe that's, I mean, maybe he's talking to Elvis, too, I don't know. Don't believe that stuff. You know how many people, a chain of events that would have had to happen? Mm-hmm. You know, look, this is all verified.
Right.
Right here. This is what you keep your eyes on. My son, attend unto my words. I'm really getting off here. I will get to my message sooner or later. But an investigation by the National Transportation Safety Board determined the pilot error was the probable cause of the crash. The report stated that Kennedy's failure to maintain control of the airplane during the descent over water at night was the result of spatial disorientation. You remember that term? Spatial disorientation. Kennedy did not hold an instrument rating on his pilot's license. He wasn't trained to read the instrument panel. He can only fly during when you can see, during the day. As weather conditions and darkness came and visibility was obscured along with all the basic landmarks that he could see, that he couldn't see, his lack of certification and inability to read and rely on the flight instrument panel caused his disorientation, and he probably thought he was flying level when he was actually descending straight down, crashing into the ocean. That's spatial disorientation. The instruments on the panel tell you if you're ascending, descending. They'll tell you your direction, your altitude, your airspeed. All the information you need to get safely to your destination is readily available if you follow those instruments instead of your physical senses. If you follow the instrument panel rather than looking at your bank account. If you follow the instrument panel instead of consulting your body, consulting what other people say, consulting the economic conditions, you know, it says, I believe it's Ecclesiastes, it says, he who beholds the clouds will not sow, the wind and the clouds. If you pay attention to the climates of this world, you'll stop sowing, you'll stop giving, and you'll stop receiving your harvest. This Bible works much like the instrument panel. Because you're not going by what you see, you're going by what you read. It's telling you the truth, despite how your senses feel about it. It's your spiritual compass. It tells you which way you're going. It tells you if you're on course or if you're in off course. It tells you, it's your altimeter. It tells you how high, you can look at it this way. It tells you how high you are climbing above the ground of your old life. And all you gotta do is spread your wings and fly. And it tells you if you're headed down fast or climbing high. You know, without this, you don't know where you're going. You don't know where you're going. Without this, you have no idea of what's right or wrong. Without this, you have no idea of what's good or bad. Without this, you have no direction. You have no altitude indicator. You have no speed indicator. This is everything that you need right here for your life. God furnished you and fully equipped you. And then you got ground control. They're there. They have weather reports. They have all kinds of other things, wind speeds and wind directions and all this, and they can guide you in safely. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And they will coordinate with your instruments. Say, what does your instrument panel say here? Da, 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 da. Bring it to this. And you do that. So they will guide you in. The Holy Spirit will say, okay, what does it say in Mark 11:23? It says that you can have what you say. If any man shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Kenneth Hagin didn't write that. Jesus spoke it, and when he spoke it, it became spiritual law. This is not theory, this is spiritual law. And it works every time, just like the law of gravity. Works out. There are physical laws. There are spiritual laws. Romans 3:26 says, talks about the law of faith. James talked about the law of liberty. This is the law of liberty. Remember when Joy Behar was ridiculing Pence, I think it was? He says, he hears from God. I mean, he's hearing voices. This is a categorical list right here of people hearing from God. Why would it seem strange or unordinary that God would speak to you, his prized child that he gave his son for? You pick this up and walk with it, you will overcome everything.
Amen.
And there is nothing that you can't overcome.
Amen.
Let me see if I can get to the, because I got to end here. Look at this. Paul is writing to his son Timothy, son in the faith. Paul is his father in the faith. And he said, Timothy, you know, I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. That's prison, chains. He said, but look, the word of God is not bound. Even in prison, he was free. The word of God is not bound. When you're in prison, you can be as free as you want to be, because the word of God is not bound. Look at this, 1 Peter. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word by which by the gospel is preached to you. The word of the Lord endures forever. The word is not bound. It endures forever. It is not bound. You know why that is? Because it's bound to God. It's not bound to anything in this earth. It's bound to God, who is unlimited, who is eternal, who is forever and ever and ever the same, filled with power, full of glory, filled with might, filled with explosive, energizing power. It's called dunamis, and it's all through the New Testament. Jesus talked about it, Paul talked about it, Peter talked, John talked about it. The analogy is this: you can depend on the word of God, but you'll never understand it until you get it down in here. You can have a head knowledge, but that's not what gives it life. You get it down into your heart, into your spirit man on the inside. And that's where it becomes planted. And it starts to germinate. It's incorruptible seed. It'll start to germinate and spread its roots, and it will start growing. And you will be fuller. And then, when that fruit is pruned, it'll come down. It'll seed, just like trees and forests grow. The word of God will grow until a point where you cannot help but overcome everything and anything. You want to be full of love? Get full of the word. You want to get full of joy? Get full of the word. You want to get full of peace? Get full of the word. You want to get full of patience? Oh, sorry. Full of patience? Get in the word. You want full of self-control? You know how many people, the prisons are full of people who have bad attitudes and no self-control. It's important. Self-control, temperance it's called. And if you don't have self-control over your attitudes, over your emotions, you are in a very weak, weak place. But that's okay because God can change it.
Amen.
All right? Just admit where you are. There's nothing wrong. I mean, you are where you are.
Right.
Just admit where you are and start sowing in the right seed. If you want a different harvest, emotional harvest. If you want a different attitude harvest. If you want, whatever it is you want. Sow the seeds into your life, and it will grow up and become greater and greater and greater. Right now, we have a lot of distractions in this country, and that's all that that is. It's just distraction. The news wants to go, see what's happening? And then they're blaming each other, and they're playing the blame game. And one's reporting everything, and one's reporting just what they want to fit their narrative. And then the other, it's like, what source do you go to? Where does the Bible tell us to keep our eyes? Turn to Proverbs chapter 4. We'll close with this, because I know you guys are getting antsy. When you feel like you got a concrete derriere, you know you've been sitting down for a while. You got to enjoy this. Everybody say, my son.
My son.
My daughter.
My daughter.
There's only two, by the way. There's only.
Yeah.
My son, attend unto my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from your eyes, but keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life. What's life? His words, they're life unto those who find them, and health to all their flesh. That word health is really medicine. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues or the wellsprings. One translation says the forces of life are right inside of your spirit. What are those forces? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faith. Faith is a force. Joy is a force. Joy of the Lord, your strength. But look at this. Let them not depart from your eyes. What happened to Peter when he took his eyes off of the word of God, off of Jesus? But what happened? Jesus caught him. So he must have been way out there. I mean, you know. And Jesus caught him because he cried out, Lord, save me. If you're in a place right now, where you want the Lord, he is never far away. He is as close as your next request. And he will reach out. How do you think they got back in the boat? They walked back together. Do things like that ever occur to you? Has it ever occurred to you that nothing ever really occurs to God? They are life. Life to those who find health. Keep your heart. Keep your heart. Keep you. Who's responsible to keep your heart? You are. That's it. You are. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. If your heart is troubled, whose fault is that? Who let it be?